man who's given to prayer and worship, a faithful man, and seen him. He studies preaching, and I'm excited to hear what he's going to bring to us tonight. Let's welcome him as he comes. Thank you, Brother Daniel.
Praise God.
Praise God. Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hallelujah. What a beautiful time of worship we've had this evening. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Just want to give honor to our pastor. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be able to speak tonight. And it's good to have you back. Praise God. Praise God. Well, thank you all for getting involved with the youth fundraising this morning. It was a really great time, and thank you all the young people that got involved, and I think there was about 16 of us. So it's easier to control and help and sort of delegate tasks to maybe 5 people, but when there's about 15 to 16, it gets a bit hard. But it worked, so thank you so much. We had a blessed time, and if you haven't registered for camp as well, you should do that. I'm standing here as a product of what God can do at a youth camp. And so you have to the 1st of April to sign up for that. So I encourage you to get signed up for that. Praise God. Well, we're going to get stuck into the Word tonight. But before I do that, I have a song that I would like to share. I'm going to read the song to you. And it's a hymn. And I've been looking at all these old hymns because I didn't grow up in church. And I haven't heard a lot of these hymns. And when I started coming to this church, when someone would put out the hymns, I would have no idea what the song was. But this hymn is called Jesus Paid It All. And it goes like this. It says, I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Because Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, and he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leopard's spot and melt the heart of stone. Why? Because Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. My sin had left a crimson stain, yet he washed it white as snow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a beautiful hymn. I love it. I've been putting it on repeat in my car and just sing it. It's just so beautiful. If you can turn to your Bibles in chapter 1 of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1. And this is my main text for tonight. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. And it says this, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Hallelujah. I'm just going to pray. Lord, we're so thankful that we can gather together, Lord, freely in the house of God to hear your word, Jesus. Lord God, I just pray that you would use me, Lord, and let your word go forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. So if I can have our first slide, I'm going to speak on this topic tonight. Crimson start and whitewashed finish. So tonight, I want to start off by saying I'm sure we've all made mistakes here. However, it takes a bit of honesty to admit that maybe you've made a mistake and you've tried to cover it up. And I'm going to share with you 2 stories that I have as a child, probably about primary school in grade 4, I'm going to say. Before iPhones and everything like that, the latest craze was trading cards. And it seems that Pokemon's come back in now, so that's awesome. So we had these things called trading cards, and I would trade these cards around, and I had fallen into the wrong crowd at that time. And they said, you know what, all these cool kids have these cards that we don't have. So let's pick up 5 and give back 4. And unfortunately, I sort of did that. And I was reading through these poor little kids' cards, and I felt so guilty. I just took the one that I already had anyway, because I was just so ashamed of doing it. But I did it, and I stole this little card. And I went home, and I just couldn't believe what I had done. as little as it was, I was like, I just stole something. I had so much guilt, in fact, that on the way to school the next day, as I was walking, I tore the car up and threw it so no one would find the evidence. Another story, and I sort of asked the youth about this one a while ago, but I asked, who has heard of or had dial-up internet? I think only one person raised their hand. They are blessed. Blessed indeed. I think it was during my time off in school, when I got pulled out in year 7, I had 2 terms out of school. And during this time, I became somewhat addicted to playing games. And my mom was so angry because she always needed to call someone. And with dial-up, as soon as you pick up the phone, the internet cuts out. Or the reverse, if you want to call into home, it never worked. And so my mom would try and be clever, and she would try and actually take the little cord that connects from the computer into the dial-up modem. And she thought she was clever, but I was more clever. I went and found another handset in the house, which had the same cord. It was a bit tangled, but I still plugged that into the modem and managed to get it working. And it was all good until Mum tried to call home. And she knew that I was on the internet. And yeah, let's just say she took the modem this time. So we're all guilty of making mistakes. And we're going to go back to the very first mistake that had happened, and even through our very own nature had hid themselves. The first account of this ever happening is in the book of Genesis with Adam and Eve. Genesis 3:6, chapter 3, verse 6 on the screen. And it says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Why? Because they did something they shouldn't have done. God told them not to do something, and they did it. And unfortunately, I had the tendency to do that a lot as a kid. I'd do something wrong, and I'd try to hide. I think that's what kids are quite clever at. At least they try to think they're clever until they're found out. But this account is revealing their mistake straight away. What they did. What did they do? They hid. And that's what we tend to do in our flesh. We tend to hide, we make mistakes, and we all do make mistakes. It's just what you do after that mistake. And there's plenty of Bible characters that have made mistakes, and I'm going to focus briefly on one of them, famously King David. King David, whom committed adultery, he made a mistake. And what did he do? He tried to cover it up. He tried to cover it up with murder, a mistake upon a mistake. Perhaps he would have not committed this sin if he ought to have been doing what he should have been doing. As a king, he should have been in the midst of armies and fighting battles with the soldiers. However, it seems to me that as his long time as being a king, he got complacent as king. He maybe got lazy as a king. And sometimes our mistakes can quite often happen when we aren't active in our walk with God, and something that he didn't have was a guardrail. And I spoke to the young people about guardrails recently, and it's a really cool thing to study. And pastors spoken to it at youth camps about guardrails. And what are guardrails? Well, guardrails are there to prevent your car from either veering onto the other side of the road or going over the edge. And this is something that David didn't have because he committed his mistake and he had no safeguard to block him from going any further. And so he committed adultery. And so many, I believe, so many mistakes and so many problems that we go through can be preventable by simply putting up a guardrail in your life. Something simple as a guardrail. Yet, you might hit it and you might get damaged a little bit, but at least it's going to protect you from falling over the edge. And so, he had committed this mistake and tried to cover up, and then along came the prophet. And I love this. The prophet came to speak to David, and he spoke to David in something that he would have been familiar with. And as I was reading this text, I was reminded that sometimes when we try to hear from God, we look for the miraculous. You know, we expect an angel to just turn up and point, go this way. You know, I think we tend to do that sometimes, but God can speak through even your co-workers, I believe, the simple things. And this is what the prophet was doing. In chapter 12 of 2 Samuel, and I've got the New Living Translation here to help us out. It says this: "So the Lord sent Nathan, the prophet, to tell David this story. There were two men in a certain town. One was rich and one was poor. The rich man owned a great and many sheep and cattle. The poor man owned nothing but one little lambie he had bought." I would have imagined it was this cute little fluffy white little lambie, cuddly. "And it ate from the man's own plate and drank from his cup." And look, here we go. "He cuddled it in his arms like a baby daughter." Has anyone seen videos of baby, like, goats? Oh, they're so cute. I can only imagine why he would have done this poor man, with this little baby goat. "And one day a guest arrived at the home of the rich man, but instead of killing an animal from his own flock or his own herd, he took the poor man's lamb and he killed it and prepared it for his guest." Verse 5 said, "David was furious. As surely as the Lord lives, he vowed, any man who would do such a thing deserves to die. He must repay four lambs to the poor man for the one he stole and for no, and having no pity." And then the sort of that gut-sinking feeling, what the prophet says to David and says, "You are that man. You are that man." We think we're so clever sometimes to think we can hide from God. And David, he had the money, he had the status, he had everything in his kingdom. But with all this fame, with all this fortune, he still could not hide his mistake from God. He still could not hide his sin from God. Despite David's mistakes, he bore the mark of consequences with the death of his son. And perhaps in his own heart that he didn't even mention to others was perhaps having the status of even a murderer as well. And we here also have a past, myself included. And maybe we have been labeled by the enemy for our past mistakes. Maybe we quit. Maybe the enemy keeps reminding us of those things, of those mistakes. And quite often the enemy loves to just start ringing those bells of the past. In Isaiah 1:18, as we read before, it says, "Though your sins are like scarlet, so obvious, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red, bright red, like crimson, they shall be as wool." I wish I had a piece of wool here to show you how white it is. It's beautiful. So the scripture reads that our sins and our mistakes, our transgressions are like scarlet. However, the prophet says that they will be as white as snow, pure, white, no stains at ever. But how is this possible? How? So we're going to read from Romans now. And we're going to talk about Paul here. And he gives us a real true depth of sin and how much of a stain it truly leaves. Romans 5, chapter 12. It's on the screen. It says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all had sinned." Just one man. And I got a funny story to tell, and most of you know, recently married, still, I think it's been 4 months. So, apparently, us men are hopeless, which is true. I'm hopeless. So, anyway, when it comes down to washing, all the men just go, "Oh." Let's just say I thought I was the best at doing it. Until one day I just started chucking whites in with my mixed colors, just throwing it in there, about to turn it on. And then along comes Brooke, screaming and yelling at me. She denies it, but I can testify that she did. And so we took them all out and separated them. But this time I had only my whites, so I was like, "Oh well, it doesn't really matter because it's not part of hers. It's all mine." And so I chucked it all in there together, including this shirt. And guess what happened? There's a big, like, sort of red stain on my collar. And that red, whatever was in there that was red, had seeped through. And it left a stain on my white washing. So she was right. I'll admit it. She was right. Preach it. Oh, boy. So men, if your wife says to do this regarding to washing, do it. I was wrong. But it's a good analogy because this is what the scripture's talking about. It left a stain through one man. It might have been just one red sock. I can't recall. I just threw it all in there. But it left a stain. Sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men. We are all sinners here. In Romans 6, chapter 1, and I love this chapter, and it says, "What shall we then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" I've got a comment here. And it says from Brooke, "How can you expect the white laundry to stay white if you keep adding mixed colors? Do you think it's going to stay white?" I thought so. But I was wrong. "And what are the wages of sin? Death." Wow. Chapter 6 of Romans weighs such a depth of what sin is and how it can affect our past and how it affects our present. And I'm going to come back to Romans chapter 6 towards the end. But it's quite simple, really. If we make a mistake, there's going to be consequences. It's going to leave a mark on your life in one way or another. Same rules apply to everyday living. If you're going to speed, you can expect to get a fine. If you start dabbling in alcohol and drugs, you can expect to have some serious consequences. Personal health problems, mental health problems, addiction. It's going to leave a stain on your life. There are many things that can leave a stain. And it was with God's people in Isaiah that he could see the sin of his people, and it was so obvious before him. And yes, we can. We can turn up to church Wednesday night, Friday night, Sunday night, Sunday morning, and we can all look our Sunday best. But God isn't necessarily concerned of what's on the outside. He's concerned about what's on the inside. What you can hide from everyone else, you cannot hide it from God. Because most assuredly, He knows the intents of our hearts. He knows every thought. And I read this scripture once, I can't remember it off the top of my head, but He knows the very actions. He knows the intents of our actions. So if you're trying to be extra friendly to someone who's popular at school, and you're trying to elevate yourself up, He knows that intention. He knows that you're not just trying to be a good person. He knows that you're trying to elevate yourself. So crimson and scarlet. Crimson and scarlet are said to be the strongest, brightest colors, which are closely related to the color of blood. And the color was used as a dye. And the dye came from a type of caterpillar, a very strange-looking bug called the cochineal. And I've got it on the screen there. It's really quite ugly-looking. Yeah. In this little study that I did, and you can look it up for yourself, it says that this dye came from this bug, and the dye would be near impossible to wash out. Once this dye was stained with fabric, it could not be washed out. And when this bug was ready to give birth, it would attach itself to a tree or a piece of bark, and it would begin to harden its shell. And when it was ready to give birth to the baby bugs, it would remain hard and eventually bleed out over these bugs, staining them with that color. And what would happen is people would come along and collect these shells because there was still a little bit of dye left into it. And they would extract that. And then they would add this dye to fabrics to make that color scarlet or crimson. And it was impossible to remove. And unfortunately, nappy sand wasn't exactly a thing around then. Impossible. You couldn't tear it out, you couldn't throw it in the dirt, rub it, try and get it out, put it in the water. Impossible to get out. So Isaiah began to prophesy, announcing that the sin of God, the sin of the people of God, was so obvious. He could see their hearts, and like the Nathan, the prophet, pronouncing that David was the man in the parable, that he was the one sin, God can confront us and say, I can see what you have done. However, this, because they made those mistakes, because they sinned before God, doesn't mean that there was not consequences for their actions. Like Israel, who was taken away captive. David's baby had died. And I think we can sort of tend to be a bit laid back as Aussies and forget that there are these consequences and mistakes. And though we might not see them now, we will see them in the future. And that's what I try and stress to our young people is if you start making these mistakes now, you are leading your life and setting yourself up for a mistake that you cannot get rid of. That you're going to be bound because of something that you did as young has become a bondage that you now have to live with when you are old. However, though there are these scars and these pains and sins, and though they are bright red, there is still something and only one thing that can wash out that scarlet, that can wash out that crimson. See, like the caterpillar that had attached itself to a tree, in John 19:7 it says, so they took Jesus away. Carrying the cross by himself, he went to the place called Place of Skulls, or in Hebrew, Golgotha. Verse 18 says, there they nailed him to the cross. Verse 31, it says, it was the day of preparation, and the Jewish leaders didn't want the body hanging there the next day, which was the Sabbath. So they asked Pilate to hasten their deaths by ordering their legs to be broken and that their bodies could be taken down. And verse 32 says, so the soldiers came and broke the legs of the two men crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus, he had already died. So they didn't break his legs. But this just really goes to show the true humiliation that Jesus suffered, even though he was dead. One of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water flowed out. It wasn't enough to simply be dead, but just as a, I don't know, maybe a joke or just a bit of a laugh, but they just decided to stab him anyway. He suffered for us. And it was that blood that was poured out for us. It was that blood that provides us the victory. It was that blood that provides the healing. It was that blood that washes us white as snow. When we had no life, his life was poured out for us. And that is why I am here today. And that song goes, oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I was going to do an illustration tonight, but God sort of directed me to go a different way. But the illustration basically was how that blood is applied to our lives. That we ought to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission or the forgiveness, the washing away of our sins. But as I was seeking God last night, he tugged upon my heart. And it was so strong, I couldn't quite tell what it was. But I really believe, Pastor, that it was God directing me to speak to this, to the congregation tonight. Whether it be for someone, I'm not sure. And in Romans chapter 6, as I was reading this whole chapter, Paul literally took the feeling that I had in my heart right then and there. And the very feelings that I had was on the pages of my Bible already. The very feeling, the very words that I had, I couldn't quite put it on page, but praise God, I don't have to because it's already there. And we're going to read Romans chapter 6, and I don't apologize for reading the word. Though it is long, I don't apologize. Romans chapter 6, if you want to turn there with me. Verse 1, it says, what shall we say then? And I read this before. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Surely not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? How? We've died to sin. Why are you still living that way? Verse 3, or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Wow. Verse 4, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism. And if you haven't been baptized here tonight, you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Through baptism into death, and that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in the newness of life. When I came up out of those waters back in 2010, I felt like a new man. I felt different. I can't describe it, but it just felt like this weight had been lifted off me. And it says that even so, we should walk in newness of life. Maybe some of us aren't walking in newness of life anymore. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also should be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. We don't have to be bound by those mistakes. We don't have to have that stain in our lives anymore. And you know what? It's been washed away, but the devil likes to just pretend that it's still there and tries to remind you. And sometimes we're just sitting there, you know, going through our towels and our clothes, trying to look for this mark, trying to get distracted. But we are no longer slaves of sin, praise God. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we should also live with him. If we've been plunged into the waters of baptism, we have been buried in Christ. We have come up a new man. We no longer have to live our old life anymore. And that is so powerful. And I believe as Christians, we tend to forget the power of the blood and what it has covered in our lives. There's nothing more that I reverence more than on the first week of a month when we come here together as prayer and communion. That is probably one of the most things that I reverence the most, and the most intimate time with God. Because that is the time we truly need to examine our lives and say, where am I? Have I got the blood of Jesus over my life? Have I strayed away? Verse 9 says, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. Our God is not dead. He is alive. For the death that he died to sin once for all. Though sin had came through one man, sin was defeated by one man. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. Isn't that powerful? And I think some of us need to be reminded of what God has set us from, free from. We are alive in God. And I can admit that, yes, there are times that we can feel down. We can feel defeated. We can be living a life that is as though we have been defeated. But what joy we can have when we realize that we are a child of God. Verse 12, a verse that struck me. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. We're still flesh. We are still flesh. We have to die to ourselves daily. We need to repent daily. We are all sinners. Verse 13 says, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. We have to walk in the newness of life. We have to leave our past behind. No strings attached. That is what God is calling us to. And if we want to live this newness of life, if we want to believe that God can do mighty things, then why are you holding on to the past for? Let go. Verse 14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. What a declaration. For you are not under the law, but under grace. And this is a reminder to us, verse 15, what then, again, Paul is saying, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. 16, do you not know that to whom you present yourself slave to obey, you are the one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that the form of doctrine to which you were being delivered. I'm so thankful that the truth comes from the Word of God. And that we have leaders in this church and men of God that preach the truth, not withholding. And if someone had done that to me, where would I be? It's this very Word of God that delivers me, that guides me. The Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Though we were slaves of sin, we were delivered. Have we forgotten that? Verse 18, and says, having been set free from sin, you have become slaves to righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. Isn't that scary? The weakness of our flesh, and I was talking about that. We can be weak sometimes. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now presenting your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. And I'm coming to a close tonight. The last four verses here. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. What fruit do you have in those things that you are now ashamed? For now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. I praise God that we have the victory, that we know where we are going. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a way to end that chapter. Though the wages of the sin is death, though our sin be as crimson, it shall be as white as snow. We don't have to live in our past mistakes. We don't have to live through all the troubles that we are going through. Because we can be assured that God will deliver us. Our God loves us so much. Proverbs 28, verse 13. He who covers his sins will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Psalms 51, a beautiful psalm, if you want to read it, it says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities, and cleanse me from my sin. Wow. Though our sins be as crimson, they will be as white as snow. And I've got this last scripture before I ask Pastor to come up. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortionists will inherit the kingdom of God. And I love the end of that. And such were some of us. 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. If you've been marked, and we're discussing about the stain, crimson, that sin, it can be washed away. And maybe some of us have been baptized a long time ago, but we've forgotten what happened in those waters. And if you come before God, and if you turn away from your sins, if you begin to tell God, you confess your sin to God, yeah, those stains are going to show. I made the mistake of washing my whites with my colors, and yeah, it shows. But you know what happens when we begin to reveal these things to God? He can deal with them. You've acknowledged that you have stains. You have acknowledged that you don't have a perfect life. I don't have a perfect life. I need God. But when you reveal those stains and you say, God, look, though my sins be as crimson, and when they're revealed, the blood can be applied. And something beautiful happens when we are baptized in the name of Jesus. Those sins, those past mistakes have been miraculously washed away. Hallelujah. And I've always heard pastors say this, that if you haven't repented of your sins before baptism, you're just a dry sinner becoming a wet sinner. But we need to confess. If we have a problem, God already knows. You're just wrestling with yourself. But if we come before the throne, if we confess our sins, the Bible says that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if you have been baptized, let this be a reminder. Don't forget the power of the blood. And Pastor spoke about that recently. Don't lose your reverence and awe for what He has done. Hallelujah. Though our sins be as crimson, it shall be as white as snow.